Praise the Lord. Does anyone have a reason to praise the Lord this morning? I'll tell you, such a sweet spirit in this place this morning. I love it. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40. We'll start at verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this day. A day to come and worship and praise you and just be in your presence. And Father, we ask as we're here today that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts and our spirits to what you would say to us, Father. That, Lord, that as you draw us into you, we draw you into us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, I've titled my message this morning, "Who Are You Entangled With?" So ask yourself this question: who am I entangled with? See, this scripture that we're reading, Isaiah 40, 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord," we don't get the full expression of what the Lord is telling us in the English language, because it's different in the Hebrew. Can you put that Hebrew up for me? This is the Hebrew word, it's kava, and it's a primitive root, and it means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. That is to collect figuratively, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry, to wait for, on or up on. So if you take this first part of this, to twist together, that's what Isaiah is really trying to say. They that twist themselves together, that bind themselves together with God, he'll renew their strength. Does that change that a little bit for anybody? Okay, for some of you. You know, sometimes, I don't know how many of you speak more than one language? A couple, okay. And have you ever noticed that in translating languages, it never seems to get the exact translation, right? That's just different languages, and that's okay. But the reality is that when we come together with God, when we start twisting ourselves together with God, we gain strength. Now, I want to demonstrate that just a little bit here, and this is going to represent you and I. This is us. We're all by our little lonesome. And we're fighting the things of this world. We're trying to stand. We're trying to do things. But you know what? I'm all by myself here, right? Now, this string's pretty weak, isn't it? Give me a young man to come up here real quick. Come up here. Can you break this? Come on, I know you're stronger than that. Pull hard. Uh-oh. I thought he'd break it easy. There we go. There we go. Stay here just a second. So now I'm going to take us again. But now we start entwining ourselves with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're wrapping ourselves, we're entwining ourselves with the Godhead. I ought to get a big guy up here that, you know, a lot of strength, because I know he's not going to be able to break this. No matter how hard he tries, he's not going to be able to break it. That's good. You're not going to break it. You see, and this is what the Scripture is talking about. When we entwine ourselves with God, He will renew our strength. And then we get another benefit. We have our brothers and sisters in church. And we get to add all them in. And, you know, pretty soon we have a whole rope here. Anyone want to try to break this? I'm not either. And if you get enough, you have a big enough rope, a big enough twisting together that you can stop a whole big ship from moving. Amen? And that's what the Scripture is talking about in Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. I'll get there in a second. Come on. Ecclesiastes 4. Might be faster if I just turned around and read it off the top, huh? My pages are sticking together. Must have high humidity or something in here. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Anybody ever tried to do something by yourself and wish you had somebody to help you? A lot of times. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall quickly stand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now that's kind of the demonstration that I just tried to show you. You see, when we're trying to stand alone, we are weak. We are nowhere near as strong as if we have our brother or our sister by our side. And especially if we do not have God on our side, we are weak. Amen? And to understand that's the entire heartbeat of God is to draw us into Him and for us to draw Him into us. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, right? But there's a lot of work that has to be done for most of us anyway. I'll plead the fifth on that one. And as God is able to start taking and cleansing us and molding us, and we start to get entwined with God, and things begin to start going the way God is leading us and guiding us, all of a sudden we're able to stand against the enemy. We're able to stand when things come against us. We're able to allow God to fight the battle for us instead of us trying to fight the battle and losing. It's getting awful quiet in here. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. First Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Did you hear that? We're all part of one body. Now, you know, some people think that the church down the street's, you know, fighting against us. No, they're not. And the church down the street's not our enemy. It doesn't matter. We're all part of one body. We all have a different function. Let's go on here. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And we're talking about getting entwined with God, are we not? So he sets things up. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now I want you to think about this for a minute, because we think, you know, in the church, you know, we've got people that are doing this, people that are doing that. You know, these guys have the more important role. These guys don't have that important role. And most of us would think that the role of the janitor is probably one of the least of the roles. But I'll tell you what, you let the janitor not clean for about 2 weeks, and you'll be saying, where is that janitor? Amen? Come on now, let's be real. There is no such thing as one that is so much more important than the other one. We're all the same. We all have a job to function in the church. And we notice when people are gone. Worship was great this morning, but I missed the drums. You know, when someone's not here to fulfill their role that God has placed us on, and you know, it happens, and that's okay. But when they're not here, we miss them. And if we don't try to make sure that we're entwined in the body, what we're really doing is we're taking away from the body. Awful quiet. But it depends upon who we entangle ourselves with. You know, who are the ones that we spend the most time with? I don't know about you. I spend a lot of time with my wife, but I don't spend near as much time with my wife as I do with God. And I hope she understands that, because I hope it's the same for her. And I know it is. But if I allow the things of this world to start drawing me away, and I start losing that entanglement with God, I start becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Does that make sense to anybody? All right, well, we've got a few listening. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully, starting at verse 33. Be not deceived. Anyone think we have an enemy out there that wants to deceive us? Okay, a few more of you are listening. Good. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, that's Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and they were going through some problems, and his letter was addressing some of those problems. But what Paul is saying here is that when we spend more time in the world and rubbing hands with the world and getting entwined with the world, our good intentions begin to get corrupted. Paul even says in another place, you don't understand this fight that's going on inside of me. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. He said, you don't understand this fight that's going inside of me. He says, I find myself, the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do, but the things that I don't want to do, I seem to find myself doing. He says, what's going on? You see, when we're in this struggle, we need our brothers and sisters. We need God. We need the Son. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be entwined in them so that we become strong, so when the enemy comes to us, and we go, you liar. No way. Get away from me. And we resist the devil. And what does the scripture say? If we resist the devil, he will what?
Flee.
I don't have it up here because I didn't bring that scripture really to share. But the word in the Greek, flee, there means to run for its life. Do you understand how powerful you are when you're entwined with God? Do you understand how powerful you are when you're twisted like a rope and he can't separate you? What did Isaiah say? He gives power to the weak. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring power into our lives. Power to live a righteous life. Power to sin not, as this scripture just said. Because that's God's heartbeat. That's all God wants. He wants that fellowship. That's what he sent Jesus Christ for, to bridge that gap that we broke through sin, so that he can spend an eternity with me. You ever think about that? The God of creation wants to spend eternity with me, with you. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. That's why he made the sacrifice, so that he would have the opportunity to spend eternity with you. Does that excite anybody? Does that excite anybody? All right, there we go. That excites me, to think that the God that created this world wants to spend eternity with me so bad that he was willing to make that sacrifice. All I have to do is start twisting myself together with him and start getting in and allowing him to get in me. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. What did he tell the apostles just as he was ready to ascend up into heaven? He says, I want you to wait. Wait for power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. See, he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. We'd already proved that through several thousand years. Can't do it on our own. I don't know about you, but I think I've proved to myself I can't do it on my own. Hebrews 10. I'll try to get us out of here by 2 o'clock if that's all right. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Is that what that says? Unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's getting quiet again. Hold fast in what you believe. Now, this hold fast is actually a nautical term. Did you know that? Fishermen were writing this. They know. What's hold fast mean? Anybody know? Don't let go. You raise the sail and you wrap it around the peg and you hold it. You don't let it go. Why? Because you need wind in the sail. And it's a nautical term, and it was used up until the engine came into boats. So back in King James day, they'd understand that. Provoke one another. But how can you provoke me if I never see you? And I think that's the biggest downfall of social media. People like to contact me, Facebook and stuff like that. I tell people, I'd rather you call me. I'd rather you call me than text me. I really would. You know why? Because I can hear in your voice what you're saying. There's a lot more to communication than just words. I can hear the tone. I can hear the expression. But you see, if you never talk to me, how can you provoke me to good works? How can I provoke you to good works? How can we possibly affect one another if we are never in communication? And if we're never in communication with God, oh man. I remember what my life was like before God. And you know what? I don't want to go back there at all. Even though sometimes, you know, people glorify that life. And it if you ever watch anything on TV or anything, they're happy. But look at the devastation that their lives are in their private lives. Because we're not wrapped together, twisted together with God. We're a piece of string out there all by ourselves. In my BC days, before Christ, I had lots and lots and lots of friends. As long as I had drugs or alcohol to give them. But you know, when I didn't have any, amazing how they didn't show up. It was like, Where'd they all go? We need to get wrapped together with God. We need to make sure that that entanglement is so tight that we can't be separated. We need to make sure that each and every day that twisting gets tighter and tighter and tighter, so that when the strains start coming, it can pull, it can strain, it can snap, it can do what it wants, and I'm still together with God. Amen? Proverbs 27. I don't know why these pages want to stick together today. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You see, the world wants to separate us. They want to drag us down. They want to beat us down. But God wants to bring us together. God wants to get us all twisted up and entangled with each other so that we become sharp. We become a force to reckon with. But you know how they make a sharp knife? They start cutting away all the impurities in that steel, and they start cutting it away. And little, if you ever notice, little flakes of metal keep coming off, and that's the way it should be with us. All those things that we don't need and need to get rubbed off. And as they keep rubbing off, we become sharper and sharper. And pretty soon, we're a nice, useful tool. A tool that God can use to affect our communities, affect our families, affect our jobs, workplaces, affect people we just meet for the first time out somewhere. That we can be a powerful witness, but it takes that twisting together with God. And I know that's a hard concept to understand for a lot of people, but I've got to get myself just caught up so tight with God that the world no longer matters to me. And to get into the church so tightly that no matter who says what, they can't get me out of there. Because that's the enemy's tools, is it not? Oh, did you hear that preacher? He preached right at me. Did you hear what Sister So-and-so said to me? Oh, I'm so offended. Did you hear what brother so-and-so did? I'm so offended. I'm never going back there. That's the enemy. That's the enemy trying to separate me. And you know what's funny? Even if I went to a different church, same thing had happened there. Why? Because I let it happen before. It would happen again and again and again, until I get so disillusioned with the church. When it's not the church, I get so disillusioned that pretty soon I'm sitting at home. And instead of worshiping, I'm grumbling, I'm complaining, until I just totally forget about it. We need to wait upon the Lord. Get twisted. Get tangled. Get to the place where no one can affect my walk with God. Not even my wife. Not even my best friend. Because I'm so tight with God, none of that is going to get inside. Amen? We could have the prayer team come up.